You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The sound I made every time the Lakers took a shot last night. 5 of 37 from 3. Are you kidding me?
Now, wait a minute.
They got crushed by OKC. What?
You got to try.
Try what?
Really hard to go 5 for 37. Mm-hmm. Don't sell that short. You know that the odds of you going 15 of 37 are way higher than they are if you going 5 of 37. It's like if you play a 20-number Keno card in Vegas and don't hit any of them. That was a feat of accomplishment last night. You got to try to miss that many threes.
That was quite a display. It was not the Lakers' night. And let's be honest, before we go into our pseudo, oh my God, they're not shooting well thing, let's just acknowledge that these games don't mean anything for the Lakers. It's a matter of tuning things up and getting ready for the playoffs. Their seeding will not change. They are the number one seed in the West. They can't have the best overall record. They cannot catch Milwaukee. So what are they really playing for except to tune things up? Now, you'd like to see them shoot a little bit better
than 5 of 37?
Than 5 of 37. But, John, the shooting thing... The shooting thing goes beyond just last night. So far in these four seeding games, Danny Green is 4 of 20. KCP is 3 of 13. Dion Waiters, including some real beauties, 3 of 18. Caruso, 1 of 9. LeBron is 6 of 22. The bright spot is Kuzma, who's 11 of 22. Give that guy the ball. Let him shoot from three. But the entire team has been just downright awful from beyond the arc.
Well, and at least it's simple, right? You either make shots or it's over.
Yeah.
Right? You've got to make shots. And they know that. You know, they're going to regress to the mean at some point.
Of course.
Maybe tonight. Matter of fact, so tonight. We're only on until 4:30, and Joe Varden is coming up here in a couple of minutes. And Joe, who covers the NBA for The Athletic. And Lindsay, is Joe in the bubble?
Yes, he's still.
Yes, he is.
There's still September, I think.
Okay, so Joe had a story that LeBron said there was something going on off the court that he didn't want to talk about. So we'll see if that was just LeBron being LeBron and he was messing around.
What do you mean LeBron being LeBron? Like there's something going on.
Well, you're going to find out in 2 minutes. Joe Varden's coming on in 2 minutes.
Yeah, he says this is what LeBron said. He says it's just some things you can't control that's here that I really don't want to talk about. That's off the floor.
Yeah, so we'll get into that with Joe. But, Mace, what do you think the Lakers' record? LeBron is out tonight. I kind of sniffed this out a couple of days ago. I figured this is the only back-to-back in the bubble.
Yep.
The Lakers locked in their seeding. Why would you play LeBron? I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah,
so LeBron's out.
The most important thing they have to do now is just stay healthy.
The Lakers have played 3 games this year without LeBron. What do you think their record is?
I don't know.
Take a guess. 3 games.
0-3.
2-1.
2-1 is correct. Mason wins both showcases.
Ding, 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 ding. Do I get credit for Game of Games?
No, you're the worst Game of Games player we got.
I'm the worst?
Yeah.
I'm a terrible gamer. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, the good news is, Mace, you can't lose today.
True. It is my game,
yeah,
but
exactly.
I can't win today.
But you can't lose.
Yeah, cannot lose. Cannot lose.
But
yeah,
I mean, it is simple, right? Either you make shots or – now, here's a question.
By the way, text from Michael Thompson. Shooting is muscle memory, Mace, M-U-S-S-E-L. And their muscles are atrophying, so they better reteach their muscles now. That's Michael Thompson.
Okay, so, Mace, here's the thing. With this abysmal three-point shooting in the bubble.
Abysmal.
The Lakers have dropped to, what do you think they rank 1 through 30 in three-point shooting in the NBA?
I will say number 19.
Lower.
Lower as in better or lower as in worse? Worse.
Can I take a guess?
Yeah.
21.
Lindsay?
I was going to say 26.
22. They're now tied 22. For 22nd. They shoot 34.8%.
So it's now, just not, it's not a good three-point shooting team.
Okay, but wait a minute. I've got more. What do you think their overall field goal percentage, where do they rank? They rank 22nd in three-point shooting percentage. Mace, take a guess where they rank in overall shooting, which includes threes, but overall shooting.
I will say they are 12th.
Lindsay, what do you think? Overall field goal percentage, where do the Lakers rank?
I'm going to say 20.
Number one.
Oh, wow. Geez, that was terrible.
48%. So it begs the question, can you know, should they stop shooting so many threes? Is it smart to shoot 37 threes? And to help us answer that is Joe Vardon from The Athletic, who is in the bubble. And Joe, I assume you were there last night for one of the most, I would say, spectacularly bad shooting performances in NBA history. I mean, you got to try to go 5 for 37, don't you?
Well, that's one way to look at it. I mean, it was, you know, the stakes are lower, but I remember the Rockets missing like 27 threes in a row or something like that, and that's kind of what it felt like last night.
So, Joe, let me ask you. I just pointed out to Lindsay and Mace, the Lakers are the number one overall field goal shooting percentage team in the league. The main reason for that is they're long, they're big, and LeBron and AD shoot a lot of their shots at the basket. So if you're Frank Vogel, do you dial back the threes and shoot more twos, or is that so far away from what today's NBA is that you can't do it?
Yeah, I think you got to keep shooting. You know, I mean, they haven't been this bad all year. I mean, they're not a great three-point shooting team, but they are the best team in the West. They got there by playing the way they're playing now. I mean, I think the thing that you got to keep in mind is this is a different Laker team. I mean, they have two rotation players who were not there previously. And in the case of JR, I mean, my goodness, he hadn't played at all in almost 2 years. So, you know, this was going to be a work in progress anyway. And it's pretty ugly right now.
You know, I think it's been underreported or not discussed enough how important Avery Bradley is to this team. He's a 36% shooter from three. He's their best perimeter defender. I think they're really missing Avery Bradley. What do you think?
Yeah, I couldn't possibly agree more. It's just a huge blow, huge. And, you know, the Lakers already, you know, a weak spot is guard defense. You know, I mean, they're vulnerable to a Damian Lillard. They're vulnerable to a Chris Paul. And you can kind of go on down the list. And now you've taken away, you know, the guy who could at least match up with one of the two, you know, dynamic scoring guards. And that is definitely a problem, you know, and then Rondo, of course, is out too. So you're getting so far into your rotation that, again, I mean, now you're playing players who just weren't on this team all year.
Joe Vardon from The Athletic is with us. Joe is in the bubble. He covers the NBA. Okay, Joe, this morning you tweeted this. Quote, in explaining why the Lakers are struggling at Disney, LeBron said there was something going on off the court that he couldn't control and he'd rather not discuss. That sounds ominous. Is it ominous, Joe, or was LeBron, you know LeBron pretty well, was he just messing with you?
It was weird. I mean, he had absolutely no reason to say that. Like, the question that was asked was a basketball question. I think they were still talking about shooting. And he's like, I don't know, you know, we got to get it together. We've got to find a rhythm. But, you know, there's some stuff, like, that's, you know, that I can't control here that, you know, off the court that I'd rather not discuss. And he had a look in his eye, like his eyes kind of lit up when he said it. And, you know, I haven't been able to read all the coverage today. I had it in my story, and admittedly, I had it down in there because I was focusing on Chris Paul and the Thunder. But, you know, as you said, I've known LeBron for years, and it used to be my job to literally cover every word that he says, and that statement right there is one of those ones that just makes you wake up. Like, hey, you know, it's a warning signal. It's like a flag of some kind, and it could be anything. I mean, that's the funny thing about him. You don't have any idea what he means, but it was a very strange thing to say.
Yeah. Let's talk about the chase for the eight, the first team that the Lakers will face in the playoffs. Currently, Memphis is the eight, but they're 0-4 now in seeding games. Portland is a game back. They're 3-1 in the bubble. San Antonio,
look out
two
for
back.
Phoenix. Don't count
New Orleans,
out Phoenix.
New Orleans is two back. How do you think this chase for the eight works out?
All right. Well, first of all, I'm glad you brought it up because it's pretty much been my passion project since after opening night, or maybe the first two opening nights. I've devoted most of my time to this. I'm at the Suns game right now. I think they're beating the Pacers by like 13. I stepped behind a wall so I could talk to you guys. And the way I think it works, I think the way I think it's going to work is this. I think the Blazers are going to make it. I think they're going to be in the play-in to fight for the last chance to go and play the Lakers. What you have to watch is what continues to happen with the Grizzlies. They are in a free fall. They're 0-4. They lost Jaren Jackson Jr. They've already lost Justice Winslow and Tyus Jones. So they are a total mess. But they came into this with such a lead, like 3.5 games, that even one win for them would make life much harder on teams like the Pelicans, who the NBA put on national TV 7 times in this restart. That's how badly they want the Pelicans to be competitive. You know, the Suns are totally on fire right now. They're about to go 4-0, you know, and then even the Spurs and the Kings aren't dead yet, but it's harder for me to get behind those teams. So to make a long story short, I think the Blazers are in that play-in, and then if the Grizzlies could somehow, you know, just stitch together a win or two, they would probably be the other team just because of that gap. Otherwise, I'm starting to wonder about these Suns. I mean, they are not afraid. They are playing with just passion and reckless abandon, and they're beating these really good teams. You know, the Pacers are good, Clippers are good. So that's how I feel about it right now. I feel very strongly about the Blazers, and so I think that probably means that you're looking at the Blazers against the Lakers in the first round.
Yeah. Joe Varden from The Athletic is with us. Joe, and if this is a really complicated answer, just say it's too complicated to explain it on the radio. But what happens, what's the tiebreaker if a bunch of those teams finish with the same record? Because they can only take two for the play-in tournament, right? They can only take the 8 and the 9. If there's three teams at the 9 that all have the same record, what's the tiebreaker?
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of things, and I don't even know about being complicated. I think I'll just be honest with you guys. I don't know them all. You know, I was kind of looking at the list the other day, but you know, it's the same thing. It's you know, winning percentage against each other. Like, is there a head to head?
Yeah. Okay.
Winning percentage against you know, stuff like that.
Okay. The other thing is you talked about how the Blazers are likely to be one of the two teams. They, to me, do not look like a typical 8 seed. They look like, you know, with all these guys healthy and Nurkic back and Collins back, they look to me like they should be in that 3-6 group. If it is the Blazers and it's Blazers-Lakers, how does that series play out? How does that match up?
Well, okay, so that's a great question. It's a great, great analysis. I totally agree with you. The one caveat before I answer your question is the Blazers have the toughest schedule. They got to play the Nuggets tonight. They got to play the Clippers on Saturday. I think they have to play the Mavericks at some point. So, you know, that would be the thing. But you're exactly right. And Brad Stevens said this the other day. The Blazers are not the ninth place Blazers now. They are the Western Conference finalists. Blazers, you know, the addition of Nurkic and Zach Collins, both back from surgeries after the pandemic, just totally changes them. And it adds such a layer to the already fantastic games of Dame and CJ, and Gary Trent's playing really well too. And so when you look at the Lakers matchup, I mean, I don't want to get insane here, but in a bubble where there's no home court advantage, and there's this whole added layer of like the mental challenge of not seeing family and all the things that go into living in this thing. There's never been a time probably like where a, there you would have more ripe conditions for an 8-1 upset. And I'm not going to pick against the Lakers, but they can't guard out on the perimeter now. The Blazers have two absolutely dynamic guards, and their bigs move. You know, they can be as big as the Lakers. They can. I mean, Nurkic, Hassan Whiteside, Collins. They have Melo, too. And, you know, obviously LeBron at this stage of his career has always been better than Carmelo, of course, but is probably a couple steps ahead of him now. But Carmelo is an excellent complimentary player on that team. And, you know, I'm going to tell you, I think the Blazers get at least a game, maybe two, you know. And, you know, a 4-2 series in a first round that catches your attention.
Joe Vardon from The Athletic is with us, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. I got one last thing here. So it's another round of testing was done in the bubble. Again, zero positive tests for COVID. Is there a growing sense of confidence down there that this thing is going to work?
You know, I feel like that confidence has been around for a while. And so I don't know if it's growing. I think that they're we have crossed one hurdle, which was the bubble itself got bigger is the wrong word, but there's like an outer bubble now, where the testing is not as stringent for, like, you know, the people doing the TV games and like some reporters who don't get to sit on the floor. Like, we kind of cross paths occasionally and still no positive tests. You know, the next thing will be when families get in and how those quarantines go. But, you know, so far, man, this thing works. I mean, they designed it right. They designed it so you catch all of the virus positives before anyone steps out into campus. And, you know, the Disney workers obviously haven't gotten anybody sick. They've been taking, you know, major precautions. So, I'm sure luck is involved at some level, but this was designed very well.
All right. Well, listen, Joe, we appreciate you coming on a lot. Thanks for ducking out of a game to talk to us. And we will hopefully talk to you down the line.
Yep. Looking forward to it.
All right. There's Joe right. Vardon from The Athletic.
Mace, can I say something? Do you hear that? Do you hear that sound?
The sound of what?
Of people jumping off the Laker bandwagon.
Oh, come on.
I just want to say I am all in on the Lakers. I think that people are panicking way too early. I think bring on the Blazers.
Are people really panicking?
Bring on Lemon Pepper Lou and the Clippers. I'm sticking with my original pick. I think the Lakers figure this out. I think they have plenty of time to figure it out. I think they get into the playoffs with LeBron and AD and they just roll people. Give me the Lakers. 7 days a week and twice on Sunday.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, 5 for 37 from three is something that's not going to happen again. They will, you
couldn't
know.
Would argue you could not do it if you tried. As a matter of fact, do you remember that day that we were doing the show from the Laker facility and you went down and shot 20 free throws? Do you remember how many you made?
14.
You made two.
You made
two out of 20. So if we gave you 40, you would make four. That's basically 5 out of 37.
Wow.
The Lakers for a night turned into
are shooting as badly as me.
Yeah, it's not going to happen again. Come on, man.
Yeah, there's no reason for panic, people. No reason for panic.
Remain calm.
Lakers Rockets this afternoon, 4:30 pregame and 6 o'clock tip. So we have a short show today. No LeBron for the Lakers. Did I hear no Russell Westbrook in this game?
Unlikely to play. Rolling with.
So a little shine off the game.
Exactly.
All is well.
I am Kevin Bacon. Remain calm. All is well.
You know what the line is for the game? Take a shot.
I know. I can't lie to you. I know it.
Oh, you know it. Okay.
Yeah. One of our listeners emailed that there was a big line switch after LeBron dropped out.
Yeah,
right?
Big
Rockets,
line switch.
Rockets by 3.5 still?
3.5 now, yeah. Yeah, once LeBron dropped
out. If I could bet even mythical money on the game, I would bet it on the Lakers, but I can't. I can't bet NBA for any reason.
All right. If you are legitimately panicked, we've got a segment to take some calls. 877-710-ESPN. Are you panicked?
The sky is falling line is open. 877-710-3776. And I maintain, Mace, This is nothing.
Nothing.
I'm Dustin Hoffman in Wag the Dog. This is nothing. I was 6 weeks into Saul Solomon when I realized I didn't have the rights.
It's a classic. It's a classic. All right, last night, two homers for Jack Peterson. Killer assist
from
Chris
end?
Taylor.
Do you see the last one? Oh, what? I haven't seen a game end like that in years. It was
we
great.
Will play that back next. Dodgers beat the Padres 7-6. Dodgers off today, home to the Giants tomorrow. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. What is going on? It is Thursday. No show yesterday. Kind of screwing me up. Short show today. We got Lakers versus Rockets. Pre-game is coming up for you at 4:30. Tip-off at 6 o'clock tonight. Last night, good night for the Dodgers. Good night for Jock Peterson.
On a 1-2, Peterson lifts a ball to right center field and deep. Way back there and gone. His second home run tonight. Well, he got another fastball and he did what Patino probably feared was a chance that he would do. Absolutely crushing a three-run home run.
Okay, let's go to the end of the game. Kenley Jansen.
Unbelievable. I haven't seen an end of a game like this in years. It was fantastic.
Kenley Jansen was 3-for-3 in save opportunities coming into the game. Still made things an adventure last night. Kenley gave up a run. Then with a runner at third, it was Trent Grisham. He tried to score the winning run on a sack fly line drive to left field.
With one out. There was one out, and when they hit the line drive, so Chris Taylor catches it for the second out, and then it sets up what you're doing.
And here it is.
First pitch. Line to left field. Taylor is there, makes the catch. Here's the throw to the plate. It is there, and the game is over. And the Dodgers take the series from the Padres.
This line drive gets him some momentum coming forward. He plays it perfectly. He knows what's on the line, and the throw is on the line. Great tag. That feels just as good as a walk-off home run for Chris Taylor, a walk-off assist.
Beautiful play.
I would argue,
throw.
Mace, to Oral's point, I would argue I'd rather have that, the walk-off assist, than the walk-off homer. Because it just never happens.
I'd rather have the walk-off homer.
Yeah, but
shows up on the stat line.
Right, well, and it's all about you, which would be your
Well, it's
thing.
All about getting paid, man. Yeah. If you're one of these baseball players, it's about getting paid. They're going to look at how many home runs you've got and say, that guy's productive and that's not. But it was a beautiful, beautiful play. Yeah. Now, my big concern that comes out of this is Kenley Jansen, who, to me, now I know they talked about his velo is up. He's into the 90s, into the low 90s, but I don't think he's getting the break that he has in the past. He's 4-for-4 in save opportunities, but last night was
a
really
coaster.
Shaky one. It is a roller coaster, and I look back at that bullpen, and I see Blake Treinen has yet to give up a run. We've got a good backup plan if Kenley goes south, but Kenley he's getting by so far, but boy, he is not the pitcher he was.
Well, and I actually, would you have any objection to Gratterall pitching the eighth and Treinen pitching the ninth?
Gratterall's been a little bit shaky. He throws gas.
Kenley Jansen's been a lot shaky.
Yeah, but Gratterall has given up. Gratterall took the loss the other night, gave up two runs in a third of an inning. So, I mean, I think Treinen is the lock-in eighth-inning guy, and you're gonna ride with Jansen. You're paying him. If you take him out of that role, it's impossible. And I guess it's panic day. He is 4-for-4 in save opportunities as we talk about this, and I've already replaced him with Blake Treinen.
All is well. Remain calm.
Everybody calm.
Yeah, everything's fine. The Dodgers are going to make it to the playoffs and be the team to beat. The Lakers are going to make it to the playoffs and be the team to beat. Everybody calm down. Everybody's like, this pandemic has everybody messed up.
Dodgers, by the way, 9-4. They are tied with the Rockies for the lead in the National League West, and they've got the second-best record in the National League. What, are you quoting Max Kellerman already before he even gets here?
In honor of Max coming back, that's right. Now let's go to Big Rob at Inglewood. If Big Rob at Inglewood is panicked, I will be shocked. Rob, are you panicked about the Lakers?
No way. Hey.
Yeah, no way is right.
I'm not panicked, but hey, Laker fans better be panicked, okay?
Why?
Let me tell you what. I love the Lakers, okay?
Yep.
I'm not a fan. And when you love a person or something, you will tell them the truth, mm-hmm. whether it hurts them or not. But
correct.
A fan, won't, they will not tell you the truth, all right?
Mm-hmm.
See, and the Lakers better be in panic mode because of Kawhi Leonard. The Clippers are coming. I love the Lakers, but my money is on the Clippers.
Rob,
that's the truth.
Rob, and, the Lakers and the Clippers played 5 days ago, and the Lakers won.
Were the Clippers at full strength?
Were the Lakers at full strength? I mean, come on.
Look at this. When the playoffs start, Kawhi Leonard, Doc Rivers, and Paul George and that Clippers team, that deep Clippers team, the Lakers are going to have problems.
So you're talking about the Clippers who are 1-2 so far in the bubble?
Look, when the playoffs start, their mindset is going to be totally different.
Are you talking about the Clippers who were at full strength right before the separation and the Lakers beat them anyway?
Let me just say this. I know you guys about to cut me off. Let me just say this. Just like when the playoffs start, LeBron James' mindset is going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
When the playoffs start, Clippers' mindset is going to be different. Am I right or wrong?
How do we know?
Everybody's mindset is going to be different.
Rob, how do we know they've never made it past the second round of the playoffs?
Because they never had Kawhi Leonard and Paul George.
They had Blake Griffin and Chris Paul. They didn't do anything.
Let me tell you.
Big Rob, what made you a Clippers fan? Why are you a Clippers fan?
No, don't get me wrong. I just told you, I'm not a Laker fan. I love the Lakers. I love them for the last 42 years. I've been on this earth for 42 years.
Okay, got it.
All right. Hey, now let me just tell you this. The Lakers need to hire me. Let me tell you. The Lakers have messed up ever since last off season. They just made one roster good move, and that was when they gave.
Wait
a minute.
I would say, based on this phone call and all the positive things you've said about the Lakers, you should expect a call for them to hire you maybe today.
Yeah, they're looking for a guy like you, a naysayer. They want a naysayer on staff.
They're looking for a guy who's picking Kawhi Leonard to knock him out of the
playoffs. Go work for Ballmer. That's where your job is.
Go call Clipper Darryl, and you can get one of those red and blue suits.
All right, just listen to me out. Look. Here's why. I said I love the Lakers.
Yeah.
Going to tell them the truth no matter what. Let me tell you the truth. If I was on LeBron James' team when he left the Cavs,
mm-hmm.
you know what? He never would have left because I would have told him the truth. Hey, man, it's not the wise thing to do. Don't do it. And let me tell you why. Because after that, you know what LeBron James did? He sent his whole crew to whatever their background is, he sent them to the best guys in the world to coach.
Hey, look,
I have absolutely no idea what you're saying.
I'd love to let you talk all day, but instead I'll just wait and listen for the Big Rob show.
When's
the Big Rob show?
You stopped making sense like 3 minutes ago. I have no idea what you're saying.
Just say one more thing.
You haven't said enough. Go ahead, Big Rob.
Okay. I love you guys. Hey, but let me just say this. The Lakers made one roster good move when they got Anthony Davis. I would have gave up anything to get Anthony Davis. That was right.
So you're right. Hey, Rob, what was I thinking? You're right. Signing LeBron as a free agent was a huge mistake.
No. But hey, let me say this. Last off season, when you got LeBron James, the only thing you should be concerned about is surrounding him with shooters.
Right.
J.J. Redick was available.
J.J. Redick just lost by 25 to the Kings. There you go.
Big Rob, we appreciate your phone call and your passion and your wrongheadedness. Thank you.
Yeah, that was a complete waste of time.
No, it's actually entertaining. He was so into it.
He meant to say, I am not a Clipper fan, and he kept saying, I'm not a Laker fan. So it made his argument make even less sense.
Exactly. All right, coming up now, actually right now, 877-710-ESPN. Fill up the phones. $100 gift card to NFLShop.com, and you qualify for the grand prize of 55-inch big-screen TV. This season, Hard Knocks following the Rams and the Chargers. Watch the premiere Tuesday night at 10 p.m. on HBO and stream it on HBO Max. Really simple game. Closest without going over. 877-710-ESPN. We will do that next. And we got Radio Tinder coming up for you in 15 minutes. And at the top of the hour, it is Game of Games. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, crazy as it sounds, Hard Knocks is making its premiere on Tuesday, covering the Rams and the Chargers and the new SoFi Stadium. And we've got a cool prize package for you right now, $100 gift card to NFLShop.com, and qualify for the grand prize, which is a 55-inch big-screen TV. John, simple game of closest without going over.
All right, what's the question?
Bring the first one on. I don't want anybody to have a Googleable.
All right, Reggie in L.A. on line one. Hey, Reggie.
Hello.
You ready?
Hey, Reggie. How many yards did Todd Gurley led the Rams in rushing last year? How many yards did he run for? Closest without going over.
Guess.
Take a shot.
Need a guess, 500. Reggie. 500, okay. Tommy in L.A. Hey, Tommy. How many yards for Todd Gurley last year?
I'm going to say 1120.
Okay, Geronimo in La Puente. Hey, Geronimo, how many yards for Todd Gurley last year?
625.
All right.
Sam in Huntington Beach. Sam, how many for Todd Gurley last year?
Let's go 715.
715. Andrew in West Covina. Andrew, how many for Gurley last year?
850.
And last one, Ryan in Hawthorne. Ryan, how many?
540.
Is anybody a winner?
Andrew is the winner. Andrew. 857 is the answer, and he guessed 850. Congratulations, Andrew. Nice work.
Thank you very much.
Cool. Get a $100 gift card to NFLShop.com. Qualify for the grand prize of 55-inch TV screen from Big Screen TV. Season of Hard Knocks, again, following Rams and Chargers. The premiere is on Tuesday, August 11, 10 p.m. on HBO, and stream it on HBO Max. Now, you guys were up really early today making mythical money bets.
We both bet on the PGA Championship.
And how I set my alarm because I wanted to make sure that I didn't miss them teeing off.
Yeah, so I basically took $5,000, Mace, and I bet it on five different people. Here are my five. Justin Thomas, 10-1. He didn't have a very good day. John Rahm, 14-1. He's doing terrible now. Colin Morikawa, 30-1. Here's my mother's milk. Here is what's bringing me through.
Okay.
Daniel Berger, 40-1. Daniel Berger is 3-under. Two shots off the lead, 67 today, and Tony Finau, 50-1. So those are my five: Thomas, Rahm, Morikawa, Berger, and Finau.
And what did you bet, Lindsay?
I also picked Daniel Berger for $1,000, and then I picked another long shot: Gary Woodland's 40-1.
That's a good.
He's doing all right. He's tied for 11th. I think he finished 3-under today. And then I also picked Patrick Cantlay. He was 22-1. Honestly, I hadn't heard of the guy until like 3 weeks ago, but the last couple...
He's a local kid. He's an L.A. kid.
Oh, okay. Well, like the last two tournaments, he did pretty well, and I saw that he was one of those smart bets, so I picked him at 22-1, and then Ricky Fowler, of course, my favorite golfer. He's only 4.5-1. I don't know if that's how you do it when there's a 0.5.
That's not very good value.
Yeah, that's not good value.
And he's never won a major.
I always root for him to win a major. It's I say every year, oh, this is going to be the year. This is going to be the year. So I
so does he
on him anyway. I know.
So does he. He always thinks it's going to be the year too. So, all right. So you guys have action. I'm going to make a spectacular four team parlay right now, which John says pays 10-1. So I'm crossing over sports. Give me the Cubs over the Royals, the Yankees over the Phillies, Milwaukee -9 over, I wrote that wrong. Who are they playing, John?
The Bucks. They're playing the Heat.
Yeah, Milwaukee -9 over the Heat, and the Clippers -4.5 over Dallas.
You can't
Those
bet
the
on
teams.
The Clippers. You hate the Clippers.
Look, I want to win money. That's mythical the important thing.
Mythical money!
I want to win mythical money. I made a bet on the Astros last week. I'm making a bet on the Clippers tonight.
Now,
I don't care.
Now,
I don't care if they beat Dallas.
Technically, you have to bet with odds on baseball games. But since you're doing a 14 parlay, I think we throw that out because 14 parlays are so hard to win. I think
even
if you hit all four, we give it to you.
Even in baseball, if you do a three-team parlay, you still have to figure in odds?
Because of the pitchers.
Because of the pitchers.
But no, I'll give it to you. If you hit all four, give it to you. Yeah.
Okay, good.
How much money are you betting?
Give me just $1,000. Right, pays 10-1, give me $1,000.
Yeah. All right, good.
It's gambling season again. It's time to do some gambling, some gaming. We got games on, finally.
Yeah, I'm just glad we have something to watch.
Me too.
This course, I've actually played this golf course. This is where Clay Thompson had his charity event 2 years ago. Ben Lyons and I went up there and played it. It's really hard. And that's hard for Ben and I, who are not professional golfers. So this is going to be a wild chance. And if you just joined us, Bryson DeChambeau broke his drive. He swung so hard he broke his driver.
Yeah.
So I don't know how he's going to navigate this now without a driver. But we'll
see. So let me ask you something, John. Last night I'm watching the game, and I know you're calling the game, so you don't get to hear this, but I'm watching the game on Sportsnet or Spectrum Sportsnet, and Billy McDonald is on the call.
Yeah.
And every time he says, and I want to learn how to do this, we may have to get Billy on the show to teach me. Every time he says Jack in the Box, he says it like this. Jack in the Box.
Mm-hmm. So,
have you noticed this?
Did you? No, but I obviously never hear Billy call a game.
Jack in the Box. I think that's what he's going for.
So it's the same. Do you ever see the movie Private Parts?
Sure.
So you remember when Howard Stern gets a job in WNBC? Paul Giamatti plays Pig Vomit, the program director. And he says, now, Stern, let me tell you how you're going to say this. WNBC. WNBC. So you're telling me Billy says, how's he do it?
Jack in the Box.
Jack in the Box.
It just cracks me up.
Jack in the Box is not a radio sponsor, but this should give them a reason to become a radio sponsor. Because if they do, I promise you, I will try and out Billy at the Jack in the Box call. If Billy says Jack in the Box, I will try and do it twice as long. I'll go Jack in the Box. What do you think?
Just weird stuff I notice. We should get Billy on the show tomorrow. Yeah. I want to find out exactly how he says
it. Oh, he would totally do it.
What's up, players?
Yeah, he would totally do it.
All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Lindsay has teed up some stuff for us. We'll get to that. Then at the top of the hour at 4 o'clock, we're going to play some Game of Games. And at 4:15, John's going to take off, and we'll do some crosstalk with Michael Thompson and Alan Sliwa leading into 4:30 pregame, Lakers versus Rockets tonight with a 6 o'clock tip. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, it's time for Radio Tinder. By the way, Bucks and Heat game is almost over. I made a wager on that. And the Yankees are down 3 runs in the second, so I made a wager on that, too. I lost track of time there. But we're going to let those stand?
Yeah, why not? Yeah. Milwaukee is up 125-111, so you're looking good there.
Mythical
got one.
Money.
Got one. All right, so it's Radio Tinder time. Linz, what do you got for us?
All right, we're going to see the Lakers play tonight. And even though they lost yesterday, they had a little bit of excitement in the stands. They got their virtual celebrity row back, inviting some famous faces to sit in the courtside seats, virtually, of course. During yesterday's game against OKC, Lil Wayne stepped up and appeared via webcam to spice up the crowd. The rapper cheered on the team and even tried to high-five another virtual fan. But if you saw it, it didn't go very well. Is there a celebrity that you guys want to see in the virtual fan section cheering on the Lakers? Swipe left or swipe right?
Oh, swipe right. There are many celebrities. And if TNT was smart, they would find a way to get Nicholson in there. Although he has been laying very low, Mace. He hasn't made a movie in several years. And he's only been to a couple of games. Hasn't been to too many games this year.
I can't see Nicholson sitting in front of like a Zoom call to be on the scoreboard in Orlando. He is 83 years old.
But don't you think that having some of those like regular celeb fans would help kind of
I'm completely in favor of it.
I think Denzel would do it. I also think Dustin Hoffman would do it. I think
Kim and Kanye would do it.
Kanye would never do it.
Kim will.
Kim would show up for the opening of an envelope.
Yeah, Kim will. I don't know. I would do it. I don't know how you get onto it. How do you even get onto it?
You got to go through the team. So, there's a person at the Lakers that picks you and then tells you how to do it.
Oh, we need to, have the show on as virtual fans. That would be great, right?
Yeah, well, John can't do it because he's going to be calling the game. But I would try. I would try. I'd like to have I haven't gotten my cardboard cutout yet for the Dodgers either. I'm all in favor of celebrity fans. They're fun to see. That video board, I still think that one shot is weird. The shot where they go low from midcourt, and you can see the video board and the players, and it makes it look like it is NBA 2K. It makes it look like a video game. But that video board, I have to be honest, I'm not necessarily – I mean, I know the game is best played with fans – but as a television product, I find it totally easy to watch. It's not that much of a difference.
They've done an incredible job.
Yeah, great job.
They have, but you're right. The one shot is very creepy. It kind of looks like The Sims. So I could do without that. But hey, we'll get you in for the virtual fan. I'll put in a call.
Put in a call.
All right. So like all of us, the Padres pined for simpler times, which was evident by some of the, quote, fun facts displayed on the scoreboard at Petco Park last night.
Okay.
During Max Muncy's at bat, the Padres reminded us that on June 19th, 2019, Muncy, quote, splashed a homer that sparked a post-game debate about whether a bay is an ocean. Is a bay an ocean? Swipe left or swipe right?
Of course a bay is not an ocean. It's a bay. It's described in the bay. If it's San Francisco Bay, that is not an ocean. It's an extension of the ocean that is a bay.
I'm with John. It is a bay. There is a bay there. It's different from the ocean.
Do you guys remember that, though, when he hit the home run off of Bumgarner?
Bumgarner yelled at him because he was admiring it, and he says, well, you could go out to the bay and get it if you want.
Yep, and then everybody was like, oh, well, you can go out to the ocean and get it, and there was this big controversy apparently about whether the bay is an ocean. So according to you guys, the bay is a bay. It's not an ocean.
Bay is a bay. The ocean's the ocean. Well, never the twain shall meet.
You know what this is? This is a hot dog a sandwich? No, exactly. It's a hot dog.
No, it's a hot dog. Completely agree.
You know, the reporter that actually tweeted out the picture of the scoreboard, that was his caption, also is a hot dog a sandwich. So, yeah. I mean.
No, it's a bay. It's a bay is a bay and a hot dog is a hot dog.
All right, cool. All right, so last one here really quick. George Masvidal, the UFC fighter, he got his second defeat in a month, but it was a lot less painful than his first, at least physically. The welterweight MMA star took a break from the octagon for a rematch against cornhole champion Cody Henderson last night.
Wow.
Yeah, that was some must-see TV. Henderson won easily in three rounds, earning himself another trophy. Are you guys interested in seeing celebrities or even athletes of other sports in these cornhole tournaments? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe left. Cornhole's stupid.
It depends on the celebrities, right? John, wouldn't you watch it with certain celebrities? Like maybe if Ellen was the game meister.
No, Ellen is in the doghouse.
If Ellen ran the game.
Not her.
It would be fun.
If I would watch Kate Beckinsale play that, but
right. So there are people that you would watch. I mean,
watching her do pretty much anything.
Yeah, we are watching some, I mean, I basically it's all games now. Are you watching any television programs regularly now, John? I don't think probably.
No,
huh?
And I've given up on Korean baseball.
So. Oh, yeah.
Hey, Mace, this just in. You won your first game. Milwaukee 130, Miami 116.
Woot, woot. Yeah. First of four.
I was a little confused last night when I went to pick up some to-go food at my favorite place, Barrio. And on their TV, they had this cornhole tournament with the UFC fighter. And I was like, is this live? Is this happening right now? And it was. And I was like, why did they schedule this now when you've got NHL, MLB, NBA all going on at the same time? Why is this happening?
Yeah, you can't schedule cornhole and expect to win against the NBA and MLB.
Maybe that's what we'll watch in like October if we don't have the NFL.
By the way, there's some debate. Not everybody. I saw Rachel Nichols talking about this because she played played cornhole with somebody. But apparently,
in the bubble?
Yeah, in the bubble. Apparently, they also call it bags.
Yes, you're gonna play they call bags. It that in Buffalo because I play when we go camping and they call it bags. And I was like, what is bags? Like, those are the things that you play cornhole with.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I kind of like that name better. All right, coming up next for you is Game of Games. I want to let you know that, John, do you know who the guest was on the very first Culture Pop podcast by any chance?
I would guess...
Somebody we know.
Yeah, you probably went famous, so I'll guess. It was either O'Shea or Cranston.
It was O'Shea Jackson Jr., and I just reposted that. It's from about a year and a half ago. It's really, really good stuff about... his relationship with his dad and his career and all that stuff. You can get it. Go to stevemason.com and click on subscribe, either iTunes or Spotify. It's a really good conversation with Shay. All right, coming up next for you is Game of Games, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.